Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
You're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM with me, Andrew Hewitt, and this is In The Moment. Today we have the great pleasure of welcoming Avital Raz, who I'm speaking to the show. She's just written her sixth album, The Fallen Angels Unravelling Descent, which will be launched at the Healy Institute this Saturday, the 1st of April, 7:30 p.m. And still tickets available for that, I believe, Avital. And we've been talking about this album and taking the opportunity to talk more widely about Avital's background, growing up in Israel and her fascinating array of musical influences. I know you have also a massive affinity with Indian music as well, Avital. In fact, we met at some Indian fusion music workshops in Manchester previously. How did your interest in Indian music come about?
Well, so I basically traveled to India when I was 20 for 2 months. I was rather obsessed with learning how to meditate then, and I was quite interested in yoga. But I was in the middle of a degree in classical singing in Jerusalem. But I heard some Indian classical music, and I bought loads of cassettes, and I bought a sitar. Came back to Jerusalem and couldn't play the sitar without yelping in pain. But I got obsessed with it because it was sort of something between music and meditation, sort of answered both those needs. And I got obsessed with it. This one recording by a singer called Malini Rajurkar, I used to listen to it every day and learned it by heart. And then I ended up going back to India to study myself and ended up staying for 6 years studying a form of Indian singing called Drupad, which is the most ancient Hindustani form of music. It's very meditative. It's very improvisatory, but with very strict rules. So for me, as someone coming to this culture from somewhere else, it was easier to grasp than other genres that are sort of more open. But Drupad is very, very profound as well.
And did you work with a guru in India? I know that sometimes that can be quite an intense experience when people do go over to India and work with gurus. Is that something you embarked on?
Yeah, my teacher, his name is Ritwik Sanyal. He's Bengali, and he's actually a world-renowned ethnomusicologist. He's written lots of books. He's taught at SOAS.
That's the School for Oriental and Asian Studies in London.
Yeah. He taught there years ago. He's quite an interesting character because he's in some ways very westernized, and his English is impeccable, and he tours quite a bit. But then he also has a very traditional lifestyle in India. So, yeah, I would come and touch his feet, and he would ignore me, basically, because that's how you break someone's ego in India. You let them sit and wait for their lesson for 2-3 hours sometimes. So, yeah, that was an interesting 6 years.
And you are a workshop leader yourself. Obviously, I don't know if people have to come and touch your feet, but you are planning some workshops in Sheffield at the moment, is that right?
Yeah, no feet touching advised. But I do teach Indian music, and I've been teaching workshops sort of for musicians that would like to learn rags and tal and just sort of get a bit of that flavor, but not just the flavor, also the attitude, because it's like jazz. It's very, very intricate and gives you lots of skills. That's actually how I started writing songs. When I was a classical musician, I could not improvise to save my life. I once went to a jazz workshop and they turned to me and said, okay, do your solo. And I was where's the notation and where's the score? And I couldn't, you know, there was no music that I knew how to bring out in that way. And so Indian music completely transformed that and made me a much more creative musician.
That's really interesting. And it's an extraordinarily intense and intricate art form as well, isn't it? I mean, rhythmically, there's such a range of meters of rhythms that Indian music will work within. In Western, there are those, but we do tend to work in 4 and 3 and 6/8 and what have you. It's perfectly usual to work in what to a Western musician is quite an exotic time signature.
Yeah, for me, I guess the times, most of my songs are still in 3 and 4. I've got 1 in 5 and 1 in 7, but that's it. But I tend to use from Indian music more the scales and the sort of flavor of certain rags rather than the timing.
And there's a lot in the inflection in the voice, isn't it, with the Indian style, that's a very specific thing to study and to understand. And yeah. I think you bring that into your songs as well.
Yeah, some bends and I think so. But it goes, it's funny because actually, like, I learned Indian music before blues, but I could kind of take stuff from Indian classical music to understand how to sing the blues. It's a bit of a roundabout way of going about it, but I think that'll make sense to you.
I mean, it does make sense to me, and I think roundabout way of going about things is I think you've followed a journey, haven't you? You followed a journey which I think from talking to you previously is about your creativity. You followed a journey which on the face of it does look diverse, you know, from Jerusalem to Israel, back and to the UK, and the various music styles which you employ in order to express yourself. But actually, what I understand you're looking for is a way of creating which is authentic.
I hope so. Yeah.
Well, we're talking about Indian music. Should we listen to some?
Yeah.
What should we listen to?
Well, this is just, I guess, my attempt at a bhajan. Bhajan is a devotional song. In this case, it's to Lord Krishna, who is blue, and he plays the flute. And in this song, it's said that his melody, that melody that he holds between his two fingers, is Maya, which is delusion. And that delusion is what we're all living in. And so in this song, we say, Bajere Muralia, Baje Baje, keep playing the flute, keep playing and playing, because basically, if he stops playing, we cease to exist. Bajere
That was Bajera Morelia. You're listening to In the Moment here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Today I'm talking to Avatar Raz, the singer and songwriter, about her new album, The Fallen Angels Unraveling Descent. So far, we've followed Avatar from her musical upbringing in Jerusalem to India. And whilst you were in India, you mentioned that you started writing songs, Avatar, and you recorded with some Indian musicians there. I'm interested particularly in musical fusions. What were the outcomes of that?
Quite a bizarre beast. It's an album of poems by James Joyce from Chamber Music, which wow. is I think it's 36 poems in that poem cycle, but I only composed 11 of them. Actually 12, but only 11 made it to the album. And actually, when I finished recording it and had the artwork and printed a few copies, I sent it. I found out that the James Joyce is still under copyright, so I sent it to his grandson Stephen Joyce, who replied with a letter saying, "You may not use these lyrics." He was very clear about that. So I basically didn't release it till last year.
Right.
I could have released it a few years back, but I was doing other things. Yes, I released it last year.
And what did working with the Indian musicians you work with bring to your practice as a musician?
Well, first of all, it was very interesting trying to communicate ideas, because a lot of these musicians are not used to sort of chords and harmonies, and certainly not the kind that I was bringing. So we had to sort of tell them in rag terms what to play, and then we did quite a bit of editing as well. It was very interesting. There's one song on the album, we're not going to play it today, but it the words were that the first line of the song is, "I would in that sweet bosom be." So the Shanai player who played on it, he called it Mozambique. "I would in that sweet bosom be" turned into Mozambique.
<I see>. Yeah.
Well, not sure if that's a radio-worthy story or not, but
it sounds fun, and I think it gives a sense of how it was to work with them. Sounds very friendly. Were there things about their practices that surprised you, or?
Well, I was studying Indian music at the time for a few years, so I sort of knew more or less where they were coming from.
What do you think they might have got from you? I know you have to guess, but.
Well, they got paid.
Okay.
Beyond that, I don't know. I don't think their status in India has improved because they've played on my album in any way. It didn't make that many, didn't sell that many copies.
But I'm sure their creative journeys were enriched by the experience.
I hope so.
Should we ever listen to a song from that album?
Yeah. This one, actually, Syd Barrett composed the same poem, "Lean Out of Your Window, Golden Hair."
I've left my room for
What a beautiful song that is. It's called Lean Out, and it's from Avatar Raz's album Sad Songs About the End of Love,
which is based on James Joyce's lyrics.
You're listening to In the Moment here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Today we've the very great pleasure of the company of singer-songwriter Avatar Raz, who's about to release her wonderful new album, as I've just said. It's been launched at the Healy Institute, and perhaps you'd like to remind us about the details for that launch event, Avatar.
Yeah, it's a double launch. My album, which is called The Fallen Angels Unraveling Descent, quite a tongue twister, and The Angel Brothers, who are still arguing about the title of their album. Actually, by the time this show airs, they won't be arguing, hopefully, anymore. And also, Bomar of Fairground Accidents is going to do an acoustic set, I should mention.
Fantastic. Oh, it's going to be a great event. 7:30 at the Healy Institute on this coming Saturday, the 1st of April, here in Sheffield.
Yeah, and it's actually really happening, not April Fool's. We're April all fools. We're definitely all fools.
Well, April Fools are only until midday, aren't they? I believe. That was what I was always told.
Okay.
I don't know.
Hopefully.
I don't know. Well, it's been a fascinating journey through your musical life and influences, and no doubt much more to come for you, we know. I'd like to ask, how would you distill these experiences into some advice for young musicians who might be listening to the programme today and who are looking to develop a kind of personal style? We've talked about you following your creative journey and the various studies that you've made. What advice would you give to an aspiring songwriter?
That's a really hard one. I teach some. For me, I think it's interesting to look at other cultures to expand your musical abilities. Otherwise, I think there's a danger of people copying people without finding their own voice so much. But I think if you mix it up a bit, then something interesting is bound to happen.
Wonderful. Let's listen to another tune from the album. This is a lovely offering called Regarding Angels.
Got me thinking. If we read in a holy book, we might find God had one true lover. He could not bow down to God's creation, so he was banished undercover. Desperate, mean lover too. And
That was the song Regarding Angels from Avatar Rouse's new album, The Fallen Angels, Unraveling Descent, and a particularly beautiful song it is. Can you talk about the inspiration behind that song, Avatar?
Yeah, thank you. I came back from India to Israel, and for 2 years I studied in a school called Alma, which it was basically focused on religious studies from a secular perspective. From a critical perspective. And in this case, it was a course on the Quran from a poet. It was a very artsy school as well. And we learned some passage about how Samael, about the fallen angel. And he talked about the Sufi attitude to this story. And it was basically that the fallen angel is God's true... He was like... Basically, God created man and asked all the angels to bow down in front of his new creation. And all the angels did it except this angel that said, I can't do it, I only love you. I can only bow down truly to you, God. But this annoyed God and he banished him, and they've been at odds ever since. So the Sufi attitude, as far as I was taught in this course, was that was the real true lover of God, all the other angels were kind of hypocrites. So I found that fascinating story. And I guess I'm at odds with my religious upbringing as well, so I could kind of relate to that.
Well, thank you so much, Avital. You've taken us on a wonderful journey from Jerusalem through India to places such as Hartlepool and Sheffield. And I think... it's well worth checking out Avatar's back catalogue as well. There are six solo albums, or this is her sixth solo album, and there's a fantastic range and diverse range of material within them, all coming from the heart and with obvious great technique. Thank you so much for coming into Sheffield Live today.
Thank you for having me.
We do wish you all the best with your album launch. I'll certainly be there, and it's at the Healy Institute this Saturday, the 1st of April at 7:30, and there'll be the Angel Brothers there as well, and I'm sure it'll be a lovely party and a lovely launch. Could you just remind us where people can access your music?
I would say the first place to go is YouTube, because there are some great videos there. And it's all over Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, wherever, Amazon.
Fantastic. The album's called The Falling Angels Unraveled Descent. The record company is?
Sotones Records. They're based in Southampton.
And thank you so much, Avital, again. Maybe you'd like to introduce our last piece, which you referred to earlier in our interview. It had such impact on you when you first went to India. Could you remind us of that, the name of that piece?
It's a singer called Malini Rajurkar, and she's from Hyderabad. She's quite old now. She's sort of one of the top Hindustani vocalists of a style called Khyal. And in this case, she's singing a rag called Bimpalasi, which is traditionally listened to in the late morning. So it's a good time for now.
And just what was it precisely that obsessed you so much with this piece that you studied it for a year afterwards?
I can't really say. It just something about it delighted me in a from a place that I hadn't, like, tickled something that I didn't know existed.
So there's a little piece of advice or philosophy, if you like, for an aspiring songwriter. Follow those interests. Follow the tickles.
This is Malini Rajurkar singing Bimpalasi.
Yeah. Ah! Yeah. मंदिर वा